All right, so welcome again. If you've been following along with us, we've been looking at the book of Hebrews pretty much all year long, and we've been going through different sections of that at each Sunday that we've been here. And the past several Sundays, we've been talking about some warnings that we found in Hebrews, where he is warned against doing certain things or warned not to do certain things and so forth. So today, we're going to continue our study in Hebrews, but we're going to be talking about spiritual maturity. Kind of similar to that little funny video that we saw this morning. You know, that guy, mature-wise, he's a full-grown man, right? But he's in kindergarten. And so that was a funny play on the fact that spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age. You could be one of our most senior adults and still be a babe in Christian maturity. And so we're going to talk about that. How do we grow in Christian maturity? And what are some things that we can do to make sure that we are continuing on that journey in our spiritual growth? And so let's read the scriptures this morning. Follow along with me. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to just be here in your house of worship this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just help us put everything aside this morning, whatever we've been going through in our lives, whatever's on our minds. Lord, I just ask that you would just clear that. And now I just ask that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, just fill it to where we can hear your word, and then just open our hearts to where we can receive your word, to where it will have an impact on our lives whenever we leave this place. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
If you would.
Three easy payments of $19.99. You can get your own bottle. Yeah. What if there was just some sort of magical bottle that you could use for spiritual growth? I don't know what that would be. I would say the magical bottle for spiritual growth is right here. It's our Bible. So I picked that video this morning. It's meant to be funny, okay? But again, just like the kindergarten story, it actually has some meaning to it. We're in a world where maturity is kind of lacking, really, in our society. And the people around us. And so if we are Christians and we're supposed to be set different, if we're supposed to be different than the rest of the world, then how are we acting? What are we pursuing? What are we seeking after? What are we trying to grow in? What are we buying into? What are we putting our time and our investment into? Hopefully it's the Word of God. And so today we're going to be talking about spiritual maturity. We're going to be talking about what that is, what it means, how do we gain and how we grow in Christ, how we grow in our spiritual maturity, and then what are the steps to make sure that we don't fall back, that we don't, you know, grow and then become idle, or grow and take a couple steps back. And so join with me again, follow along in your Bibles as we read these scriptures one more time. Starting in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 6, verse 2. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So before we get into talking about how we should become more mature in our spiritual walk, let's look at the definition of maturity. So I went to a reliable source. I went to Merriam-Webster. I thought that'd be a great place to get a very good, sound, solid definition of maturity. Definition: the quality or state of being mature. That ought to be illegal. You can't define a word by using the word, right? It doesn't define it. So I think Merriam-Webster failed us on the definition of maturity. So let's try a different word. Let's try definition of immaturity. What is immaturity? Exhibiting less than expected degree of maturity. Again, they have failed to really explain what either maturity or immaturity really is. It doesn't help. It just, you know, it's still on that same word that we're struggling to define. So here's a definition for us to think of this morning: lacking complete growth, differentiation, or development. And so that's the Mark Welch definition of maturity. I don't know if that's proper or not, but that is basically what I would say maturity is. Complete growth, and so our maturity in Christ should be a growth in our Christian walk. Differentiation. As Christians, we should be different than the rest of the world. They should be able to notice something different about us. There's something about that guy. There's something about that lady. They have it all together. There's something there. I don't know what it is. And then development. Our spiritual walk and our spiritual maturity should be developing as we go. And it's not idle. It's just not one thing and then we're done. It continues to develop. It continues to grow. It continues to build. That's what our spiritual growth should be. And so I got a few stats for you. Now this comes back from 2006. So these are several years old, but they say a very important thing. So 2006, George Barna wrote The State of the Church. He conducted a survey of self-pronounced Christians, and here's what he found out. Now, these are Christians, all right? So he surveyed the church, self-defined Christians. 48%, and this was back in 2006, 48% could not name the Gospels. 52% could not identify more than two or three of Jesus' disciples. 60% couldn't name five of the Ten Commandments. When asking graduating high school born-again Christians, over 50% of them thought Sodom and Gomorrah, were husband and wife. Wrong. 61% of them thought the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. 71% of them think the expression, "God helps those who help themselves," is actually a Bible verse. That was from Ben Franklin. So no wonder George Barna summed up his book at the end by saying, "Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't know what it says. And because they don't know what it says, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates." And so I fear those stats are from 2006. I fear that they probably have worsened in the last 15 years. And so what does that say about us? Well, it says that we're putting our time and our effort into other things besides God. You know, I can think of, I'll use the example of my children. There are certain things that they just love to do. Cooper, for instance, loves to golf. He will put as much time into golfing as he possibly can. He would play golf every single day, multiple rounds, every single day because he enjoys it. He's interested in it. He loves doing that. My daughter Harper, she loves to play Barbies. And when I say play Barbies, she's got like 200 Barbies. I'm not exaggerating. She has like over 200 Barbies. Every single one of them has a name. And she can tell you every single one's name. And if I get it wrong, oh, Daddy, that's not so-and-so. That's, you know, and she looks like me like, you should know this. But again, it's the effort that they put into that. They enjoy that. It's something they enjoy doing. And so they're willing to put the time and the effort into it. It's meaningful to them, and it's important to them. As Christians, this should be the most important thing, period, in our lives. But how much time do we put into it? Do we open it up Sunday mornings? Maybe. Or maybe we just follow along. And then that's it for the rest of the week. I fear that a lot of us are guilty of that. And I think those statistics that I just read kind of prove that a little bit. So spiritual immaturity. Let's go back and look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. It says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And so this verse is talking about, he wanted to go into more detail about a spiritual doctrinal issue. He wanted to go into detail and really talk about it. But he couldn't, because the audience that he was going to talk to, they became dull of hearing. They wouldn't understand it anymore. And the point that he says, you have become dull in hearing, that means that at one time they weren't. At one time they were interested in hearing about more deep doctrinal things of Christ. They were interested in learning more about the Bible. They were interested in learning more about their God. But they became dull of hearing. And so they lost that drive. They lost that desire. And if we're not careful, we can do the same. We can get saved, you know, the moment of salvation, and after that, we're all just on cloud nine. We're so excited about this new spiritual birth that we have, we want to go tell everybody about it. And if we're not careful, we can become dull. And that fire that was inside of us can kind of die down to where it's been years since we've even shared Christ with somebody. And so in these scriptures, that's where he's talking about. They became dull of hearing. So how does this happen? Well, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about some warnings. And one of them was a warning to not drift away from God. That was found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And he said, therefore, we must pay closer attention, and that was talking about the Word of God, to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Here the author of Hebrews was giving us a warning. Do not drift away from the Word of God. The Word of God is a saving Word of God. That is something that he freely gave to us. And it's an opportunity to hear and speak and communicate with our Lord and Savior. And he's giving a warning to not drift away from it. And so in this case, in our verses today, the people of Hebrews, the audience of Hebrews, they drifted away from God. They were not eager to learn anymore. They were not eager to talk about their Christ and their Lord. And so if we are not actively seeking after Christ, then we will be actively drifting away from Christ. If we're not putting something into it, we're going to find ourselves drifting away from God. So the audience in Hebrews was not pursuing after Christ. It became idle, and they drifted away as a result. Verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, so they weren't newbies in Christ, because he's saying that you ought to be more mature. You ought to be the teachers of the word. So for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. And so the audience had been Christians long enough that they should have been more mature, and they should have been teachers of the Word of God, but they weren't able to do that. And even more importantly, they had to be taught, again, the basic principles of Christ. And so that is a huge difference, right? And so they should have been very mature, being able to teach in a Sunday school, lead a Sunday school class, lead a devotion, pray, whatever it is. They should have been able to do that, but they drifted away so much. It became not a priority in their lives so much that now they forgot even the basic principles of salvation. What a huge difference. That can happen in our lives too. Back to that warning about not drifting away. That can happen if we're not actively pursuing after Christ. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. It says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Here's the key word, constant practice. What's he talking about there? Is he talking about, well, you know, we'll look at our Bibles, we'll read a verse, we'll go to church once a month maybe? That's constant practice in Christianity, right? No. Constant means all the time. Have you ever heard the idea and the concept of being in constant prayer and constant communication with our Lord? It's to where that's always on our mind. Everything that we're doing is with a godly pursuit. That's constant practice. And because of that constant practice, then they would be able to distinguish between good and bad. And so, notice there isn't an age listed in these scriptures. Spiritual development is not equal to an age. There can be older people who are spiritually immature. There could be younger people who are spiritually mature. Certain qualities of a child are not to be copied or imitated, such as being gullible or naive, especially when it comes to the truth of God. We have to teach our children early not to trust strangers, because there are certain people who do not have the best interest in mind. The same is true in the spiritual world. Paul says here that some winds of doctrine that will cause a person to be tossed to and fro. This is a way of saying that many believers have no clue as to the implications of some of the basic beliefs that they adopt. And so spiritual immaturity, you might be gullible. You might be easy to accept and believe in any type of doctrine that's out there. And if you're not sound enough and read enough in God's word to know, well, that's true or that's not true, then you can be easily tossed to and fro, right? And the fear and the warning there is that you could pick up something that's actually not biblically sound. It's not what God said. So we live in a world that says you believe that what you believe is all about you having the freedom to choose, and no one is to judge you for your beliefs. To call another person's system of belief wrong is the height of intolerance and arrogance. In light of the truths of the gospel, to be tolerant of all truth is childish. In Christian maturity, there is a truth, and then there's everything else. We can't say that there's multiple ways to God, because that's not true. We need to be spiritually mature enough to know what the truth is and know what it's not. And the only way that we're going to find those truths are right here. And that's what these verses are talking about. All right, so we talked a lot this morning about what maturity was, immaturity was. So how do we become more spiritually mature? What are some things that we can do to help lead us along that path of spiritual maturity? The first thing is we must realize that we need to mature. The first step in becoming mature is to realize that you need to become mature, right? It seems pretty self-obvious. But God intended for us to grow in our faith and understanding. He gave us the ability to learn and to develop. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity." So here Paul is saying, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's encouraging us to grow, not just become idle, not just, you know, I got salvation, I'm saved, I'm good, I can just go on through life, do whatever I want, I know where I'm going, I don't need to do anything else. Wrong. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says grow in your knowledge. How are you going to grow in your knowledge of Christ? Newsflash, you're not going to grow a lot in your knowledge of Christ just coming on a Sunday morning and listening to somebody preach. You'll get a little bit. You'll get some snippets here and there. But that's not true growth. That's not true spiritual development. God is just sitting there wanting to have that relationship with us, and all we got to do is reach out. All we got to do is put forth the effort. And so the very first step in growing in our maturity in Christ is realizing that we need to. We can't grow if we don't realize it. So God is encouraging us to pursue after him. Ignore the immature and lawless ways of the world and grow in our knowledge of Christ. So what's our second step? After realizing that we need to grow, the second step is we got to be intentional. The analogy between a human baby and a spiritual baby breaks down when we realize how baby matures. A human baby is fed by the parents, and growth is natural. But a baby in Christ will grow as much as he purposely reads and obeys and applies the word. And so a human baby is dependent on somebody to care for it in order for it to grow, right? Everybody agree with that? I mean, if you have the baby and you just leave the baby right there and say, grow, it ain't going to work, right? I mean, I don't think that's how it works. And so the baby is dependent on a caregiver to make sure that baby has everything it needs to grow and develop. So think about spiritual baby. Who is our caregiver? Big man upstairs. Has he given us everything that we need to grow? Absolutely. He's given everything to us. There's nothing that we don't have that we need in order to grow in Christ. He's given us everything. The only difference is he leaves the choice up to us. That's the only difference between the spiritual growth in a baby and the growth in a human, is God is giving us the choice. It's right there. It's a free gift. He's wanting us so bad to put forth the effort, but it's our choice. And so what do we put our time and our investments and our energy into? What are we seeking after in our lives? Is it growing in Christ? Or is it something else? You know, I ask our youth students this all the time. You know, we'll be talking about idols and stuff like that. And a lot of times, whenever you think of idols, you think of the golden calf, right? Or the golden whatever it is at that time. And so I'll ask them, well, what are some actual idols in today's time? You know, how do we apply these golden idols? What does that mean today? Because not too many people are out there carving golden images that I know of. So what are some other idols? And they generally come up with some pretty good ones. They'll say technology. They'll say social media. They'll say video games, cell phones, popularity, friends, sports, families. And the list goes on and on and on. So that's in a teenager's mind of what they think can become an idol. And they're exactly right. Anything that grows to be more important than God, that we are putting over our relationship with God, whether we realize or not, that is now our Lord. That is now our idol. And so we got to be careful that we're not doing that with Christ. We got to be careful that God is remaining number one. And I'm one to admit there are so many distractions in life. I've got these meetings. I've got this work. I've got to get this done. I got to get my grass mowed. I got to do this. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to do that. And at the end of the day, if you don't be intentional, at the end of the day, you're like, I don't think I even prayed to God today. I didn't even open my Bible today. Well, unfortunately, that's a mindset that is very easy to get into. It is very easy to get into that habit of thinking that, you know what, I'll read my Bible later. I'll get to it later. God, I promise you, today is the day I'm going to read my Bible. I just got to finish this real fast. And at the end of the day, guess what? We didn't spend any time with our Lord. And if we're not being intentional, if we're not actively seeking after him, then we will be actively drifting away from him. There's no one way or the other. You can't just sit and idle with Christ. You're either growing in him or you're going away from him, whether you realize it or not. And so the second part is we got to be intentional. And so what should the Christian diet consist of? Well, it should consist of the Word of God. The truths taught in the Bible are rich in food for Christians. Peter wrote that God was given everything we need for life through our growing knowledge of him. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It's a long passage, but hear the words. It's amazing to me how the Bible, you know, God has all this in there. He'll throw something out at you, like kind of like a question, and then you go through the Bible, and bam, right there's the answer. So let's read in 2 Peter here. Follow along with me. He says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, you might want to like underline this, highlight this, whatever. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, another word you should highlight or underline, circle, whatever, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of Lord our and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those verses say everything about spiritual growth. I want to focus in on that right there. So the qualities that he's talking about are about godliness, brotherly affection, brotherly love, right? If those qualities are yours, and right there's the next part, and are increasing. There's that intentionality. There's that pursuit after Christ again. It's not once you get to be a Christian, and it's not once you start to have brotherly love and affection for other Christians. It's not like you're on easy street, folks. It's not like, you know, I can just put it in cruise and go. The word says, and are increasing. If that happens, then they are keeping you from being ineffective or unfruitful in what? in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's all about our intentionality. What are we pursuing after? What are we seeking with our energy, our time, our money, everything? What are we looking for? Well, it's all right here. And the words say for us to be seeking after him. And in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who here wants to be able to go through that entrance gate? Should be everybody, right? Well, folks, it takes effort. God does the saving. We can't save ourselves. Make no mistake about that. God does the saving. But then after that, it's on us. What are we doing? How are we trying to engage our Christ? How are we trying to learn more about Christ? God will grow us, absolutely. But we got to put forth some effort. We got to put forth some energy into this. Be intentional, be diligent, seek after him. So I'm going to leave you with two questions this morning. First one is, are you a spiritual newborn or are you a senior adult? I hope that everybody here is a spiritual senior adult. I don't want to call you old, so I'll call you senior adult. Hopefully we are all spiritual senior adults. That's our goal. But more importantly, what are you doing today to grow your faith in Christ? So our goal is to be a spiritually mature person. But more importantly today, what are you doing to get to that point? What are you doing in your life, in your daily routine, every single day? What are you doing that is seeking after Christ, to know more about Christ, to grow in your knowledge about Christ, to share the love of Christ with somebody else, to train and raise and bring up disciples in your house, in your church, in your community, in your family? What are you personally doing to help the kingdom grow? Because it's not just up to Sunday school teachers and pastors and lay leaders. It's not just up to them. It's up to all of us to do our part to grow in our spiritual development. And so we're going to get into a time of invitation this morning. And as we get ready to sing a song here, I want to ask you guys, have you experienced salvation at all? Maybe you're sitting here this morning or you're watching online, you're like, you know what? I'm not even a spiritual newborn. I don't fall in that corner category at all. I haven't been born again yet. Well, if that's the case, we would love to talk to you about how to receive Christ as your Savior, about what he has done for us and what he can do for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that, you know what, I've kind of been on cruise control. You know, I know where I'm going. I know I'm a child of God. But if I'm really honest, I've just been cruising through life, man. That's okay to admit. That's okay to realize that. But I urge you and I pray that you will do something about it, that you will make today the beginning point of where you are actively seeking after him, actively pursuing after Christ. So bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. Lord, the gift of your Son and the gift of salvation is something that we can never pay back. It's something that we don't deserve. You willingly died on the cross for my sins and for all of our sins. And Lord, that gift is the greatest gift that any person can ever receive. And because of that gift, we should have a desire to seek after you, have a desire to share that gift with everyone else, to share the good news to everyone that we encounter. Lord, I ask that you would give us the courage to do that. Give us the desire to actively pursue after you, to seek after you, to make you the focus point of our life. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that's never experienced that salvation, Lord, I ask that you would just give them the courage. Give them the courage to step forth today. Lord, it's a first step that they will never regret. Lord, if there's somebody here that's just kind of been on cruise control, been kind of just going through life, Lord, I ask that you would motivate them, encourage them, lift them up, give them that desire to seek after you again. Because, Lord, if they seek after you, they will find you, and they will not regret it one day. Lord, I thank you for all the wonderful blessings you've given us. We just love you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen.
Our invitation. If you have something that you need to come down and pray about, the altar is open. If you'd like Mark to pray with you, he's here for you as well. So pay attention to what the Spirit's told you this morning and be obedient. Amen. Let's sing.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meets, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait to the heart of God.
Well, good morning. I'm Bob. I'm the deacon this week. If you need anything, please call us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together and to hear your word and to learn, Lord, and to fellowship and be with each other. Lord, we thank you for all the vast blessings that you've given us, Lord, more than we can imagine. More than we even know of. And Lord, as we, in our offering, return a bit of the blessings you've given us, Lord, please.